الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله. إن شاء الله after the remaining dua, درس القرآن will take place. All brothers are requested to participate. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'd. Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ولو قاتلكم الذين كفروا لولوا الأدبار ثم لا يجدون وليا ولا نصيرا سنة الله التي قد خلت من قبل ولن تجد لسنة الله تبديلا وهو الذي كف أيديهم عنكم وأيديكم عنهم ببطن مكة من بعد أن أظفركم عليهم وكان الله بما تعملون بصيرا صدق الله مولانا العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته ولو قاتلكم الذين كفروا if the kuffar, if the disbelievers were to fight you لولوا الأدبار they would turn their backs ثم لا يجدون وليا ولا نصيرا and then not find any ally or helper. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ This has been Allah Ta'ala's practice that has passed from before. وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا And you will not find any change in Allah's practice. وَهُوَ الَّذِي كَفَّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ عَنْكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ It is Allah Ta'ala who restrained their hands from you and your hands from them. بِبَطْنِ مَكَّةَ Right in the valley of Makkah. مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ أَظْفَرَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ After granting you dominance over them. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watchful over what you do. Till now, in Surah Al-Fath, we have discussed that in the year 6 AH, 6 years after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in they reached a place known as Hudaybiyah which is situated 10 miles from Makkatul Mukarramah and after reaching there they realized that they will not be able to perform Umrah, the niyyah and the intention with which they had left Madinatul Munawwara. And they spent many days in Hudaybiyah. And over there, there were many proposals from the Muslims and many rejections from the non-Muslims of Makkatul Mukarramah. And in the end, a peace treaty was established. And one of the clauses in the peace treaty was that it will not be possible for the Muslims to perform Umrah this very year. Whereas The easy option would have been that perform Umrah and thereafter leave. You have already traveled from Madinatul Munawwara and you are now only approximately 10 miles away from Makkatul Mukarramah. So on this particular occasion, we will grant you permission to perform Umrah. But in future, make sure you ask permission before coming to Makkatul Mukarramah. But even this particular clause, the non-Muslims, they took in their favor. And they said that as far as this year is concerned, you will not be allowed to perform Umrah. You will have to return next year. And even next year when you return to Makkatul Mukarramah, you will be allowed to spend 3 days in Makkah where you will be allowed to perform tawaf, perform Umrah, do ibadah, and thereafter you will have to return back to Madinatul Munawwara. And this was a matter of ego for the non-Muslims, because they felt that if we let the Muslims perform Umrah, then the entire Arab world will speak against us. That have the non-Muslims become so weak that the Muslims of Medina are able to travel whenever they wish and without asking permission they were able to perform Umrah. So because this was a matter of their ego, they also set this clause that as far as this year is concerned, you cannot perform Umrah. You will have to return next year. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was treading in line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. And the principle which had been set was that in this treaty, we will accept whatever clauses are set by the non-Muslims, no matter how difficult they may be. As long as we don't have to compromise in the matters of Sharia. So if something is connected to halal and haram, there will be no compromise there. But if it means that we have to make a great sacrifice, and in the apparent it seems as though this clause is completely against our interest, but for the sake of establishing this peace treaty, we will accept every such clause. So anyway, after this treaty, or even rather before this treaty was established, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sending this proposal to the people of Makkatul Mukarramah, to the non-Muslims, that why don't you establish this treaty, and as a result, for 10 years, you will be given an opportunity to rest. We will establish this treaty for 10 years. And during these 10 years, as far as you are concerned, we are your only enemies. So as soon as the peace treaty is established, you will have to no longer worry about us. So you will have 10 full years in which you will be able to completely rest. And as far as we are concerned, you are not our only enemies. We are the Muslims, and as a result of this, all of the non-Muslims are our enemies. It's not just the Quraysh of Makkatul Mukarramah. So we will have to continue engaging in battle with all the other tribes, with all the other people, and with all those who have harbored enmity against us. Now, during these 10 years, one of two things will happen. Either we will engage in battle with somebody and they will destroy us. If this was to happen, then your job will be done without you having to even lift a finger. You just have to sit back, spectate, and watch. And somebody destroys us, then your job is done. And the second possibility is that in these 10 years, when we engage in battle with all the other tribes and all the other people, then we continue to gain victory. So this will then give you an opportunity to ponder and think over this fact that what is it due to which these Muslims are always victorious and they are never defeated. So you will have this opportunity to ponder and reflect. And it's possible that you will realize that Islam is the true religion. The Muslims, they have the assistance of Allah Ta'ala with them. So let us also embrace Islam. And if this does not happen, after 10 years, despite us remaining victorious, if you still do not feel like embracing Islam, then because you will have rested for 10 entire years, you will have had 10 years to prepare to fight against us. So you will have all the resources now, you will have regrouped, you will have even more manpower, you will have much more power and strength. So you will be able to fight us with full power and full resources. And as far as we are concerned, because we've engaged in battle for 10 years, then we will have become weak. So this was the proposal which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sending to the Quraysh of Makkatul Mukarramah. And any person with the slightest of intellect would come to this conclusion that this is the best thing which the Quraysh of Makkatul Mukarramah could do. This was something which they should have thought of, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was presenting before them. And after presenting this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also mentioned that if you are not willing to establish this peace treaty and this proposal which I am sending to you, then we are also willing to fight you. It's not that we are scared of you and we are frightened, this is why we are sending this proposal to you. Rather, this proposal is for your own benefit. Otherwise, we are ready to fight. Now, after this proposal was sent, because there was no positive answer from the Quraysh of Makkatul Mukarramah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided that a delegate should be sent to the people of Makkatul Mukarramah who can, on a personal basis, on a one-to-one account, speak to them and try and convince them. And the individual who came in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mind was Sayyiduna Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that he should be sent. But Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that one reason why I shouldn't be sent to the people of Makkatul Mukarramah is because I have always been extremely staunch in the matters of deen. And when somebody is very staunch in the matters of deen, then the enemies will have much more hatred for this person. And when they already have hatred for you, then they are not going to listen to what you have to say to them. And number two, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that in Makkatul Mukarramah, there are no relatives or family members. From my side, I have no family members and no relatives. So if the Quraysh of Makkatul Mukarramah decide to assassinate me, then they will be able to do so without having to think twice. Because they know they have no one to answer to and they know that there is nobody there to defend me. So my opinion is that you send Sayyiduna Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Because Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, although he was very firm when he came to the matters of deen, but he had a more lenient approach. He was more soft-natured. And number two, he also had many relatives who were in Makkah al-Mukarramah. There was the tribe known as the Banu Sa'id tribe, who were residing in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and they were the relatives of Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he liked what Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, and as a result, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that he should go as a delegate to the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, and he was sent with another 10 Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. So in total, 11 of them now leave from Hudaybiyah. And when they leave Hudaybiyah, first they reach a place known as Maqam Balda, a place which is known as Balda, which is in between Hudaybiyah and Makkah al-Mukarramah. When they reach this place called Balda, there is a small army who the Quraysh of Makkah al-Mukarramah had sent. So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he spoke to them and he told them that this is the reason why we have come. We are just simply asking you that you either give us the opportunity to perform Umrah or you establish a peace treaty with us. But these individuals who were sent here, in their nature, there was only one thing, which was fighting. They were warriors. And there was no one amongst them who was mature, who could make a decision in this matter. So they were just interested in one thing, and that was fighting. So they said that we have no interest when it comes to establishing any peace treaty or listening to your proposal. You go and tell your leader that you need to return back to Madinatul Munawwara. Anyway, when Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw that these people are not willing to negotiate, he continued with his journey to Makkah al-Mukarramah. When he reaches Makkah al-Mukarramah, he meets with Sayyidina Aban bin Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who later on embraced Islam. At this particular time, he was not yet a Muslim. But he was from the Banu Sa'id tribe, so he was related to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. So Sayyidina Aban bin Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he saw that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is entering Makkah al-Mukarramah, then he gave him a very grand welcome, because he knew the status of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and what a great individual Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was. And thereafter, Aban bin Sa'id said to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu that you mount on my horse, sit on my horse. And the reason for this is that everyone in Makkah al-Mukarramah are aware of my horse. And if they see you sitting on my horse, then nobody will do anything to you. So you will be granted safety. And thereafter, Aban bin Sa'id, he took Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu to each and every leader in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And on a one-to-one basis, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he presented the proposal of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the leaders. But every one of them rejected. They said, we have no interest. And the reason behind them not having interest in this was because they were the victims of superiority complex. They thought to themselves that we are in a much better position than these Muslims. It is our home ground. They are far away from Madinatul Munawwara. As far as manpower is concerned, we have much more men in comparison to them. Resources-wise, they only have a sword, and we have all the resources. So because we have everything, there is no way in which these individuals are going to even think of fighting us. This is just all talk. And even if they were to engage in battle with us, then we will be able to wipe them in no time. We will defeat them in no time. This was the thought which was crossing their mind. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he spent 3 days and three nights in Makkatul Mukarrama. And during this time, he carried out two tasks under the instructions of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One was this, that he went to every leader and he tried to negotiate. And besides that, the second thing which Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu did was that he spoke to the weak Muslims who were residing in Makkatul Mukarrama, who due to their circumstances, they were unable to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara. So there were Muslims who were still in Makkatul Mukarrama, and they were still being persecuted by the non-Muslims. But because of their circumstances, because of their weakness, they were unable to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara. So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to these individuals and he said to them that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told me to convey to you just one message. And that one message is that the days to endure patience in Makkatul Mukarrama for you are now very less. Meaning that very soon we are going to now liberate and conquer Makkatul Mukarrama. So make sure you remain firm. So upon this, the Muslims of Makkatul Mukarrama, they received great consolation also. And thereafter they said to Uthman radiallahu anhu that convey our salams to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now whilst Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in Makkatul Mukarrama carrying out these two tasks under the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Quraysh of Makkatul Mukarrama, they decided to send an army of 50 soldiers with the intention to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Hudaybiyah. The thought crossed their mind that they've left Madinatul Munawwara, they are on our border, very close to Makkatul Mukarrama. This is a very great opportunity for us to complete this task. And they thought that these 50 soldiers will be sufficient to fulfill their desire of killing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they sent this army of 50 soldiers. But as this army reached Hudaybiyah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam realized the agenda with which these people were sent. And they were taken as hostages. This news reached Makkatul Mukarrama that the 50 that you have sent to Hudaybiyah, they have all been taken as hostages. So on this side, Uthman radiallahu anhu and his 10 companions, these 11, they were taken as hostages by the Quraysh of Makkatul Mukarrama. Now over here, there were two possibilities. The first possibility was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have freed the 50 hostages. But as a result, or during this period, during this time, the Makkans, the Quraysh, they would have killed Uthman radiallahu anhu and his 10 companions, making this excuse that we thought you were going to kill our 50 hostages, this is why we killed your 11. This was one possibility. And the second possibility was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have taken the lives of those 50 hostages, and as a result, then Uthman radiallahu anhu and his companions, their lives would have been taken also. And together with this, it's possible that many of those Muslims who were still residing in Makkatul Mukarrama, their lives could have been taken also. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he decided, because he was still, the only intention he had come with was Umrah. So according to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his intention was either Umrah or then establish a peace treaty. War was the last option. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to forgive these 50 individuals, despite the fact that they had come with the intention to take his life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to forgive them and return them back to Makkatul Mukarramah. But just as this decision was still being made and discussed, that let's forgive these 50 and let's return them, during that time, this rumor reached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu and the other 10 companions with him, they have been martyred. So upon this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam now decided that in this case, now we will have to engage in jihad. And Bay'atul Ridwan took place, wherein all the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in pledged their allegiance that we will engage in this battle and we will not flee from the battlefield. Now when this happened, and the non-Muslims, they saw that with what conviction the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in have pledged their allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that they are willing to fight despite being less in number, despite not even having the weapons. And they began the preparations for the battle also. Then this report was instantly sent to the people of Makkatul Mukarramah. Then you are not dealing with just normal people. These individuals, they are ready to die. In fact, for them, death is more beloved than living in this world also. So this is where the superiority complex ended. Now they began to think that we are not dealing with normal individuals here. This is something different. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them even more overawed with regards to the Muslims here. And then they sent Suhail bin Amr that go and say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we are willing to establish the peace treaty. And the word Suhail is derived from the word Sahal, which means easy. So as soon as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that Suhail is coming, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba that now your matter will be made easy for you. This is a good omen which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took. And this was explained that in Islam, we are allowed to take good omens. We are not allowed to take bad omens. So in the upcoming verses, which were recited today, from these details, some details have been mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ قَاتَلَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. As far as the Muslims were concerned, whether a peace treaty took place or whether a battle took place, in both cases, victory was going to be for the Muslims. It's not that if a battle took place, they would have been defeated. In both cases, the benefit was for the Muslims. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَوْ قَاتَلَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. If the kuffar, if the disbelievers were to fight you, if they were to engage in battle instead of signing the treaty, لَوَلَّوُ الْأَدْبَارِ, they would turn their backs, meaning that they would turn their backs and flee from the battlefield. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُونَ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا, and then not find any ally or helper. So لَوَلَّوُ الْأَدْبَارِ, they would turn their backs, meaning that they wouldn't be able to fight. They wouldn't be able to fight you. Now, when they would not be able to fight you and they would turn away from the battlefield, then once a person flees from the battlefield, it's only possible for him to remain firm if someone is there to assist him. So Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُونَ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا, and then not find any ally or any helper. Meaning they would not find anyone to assist them and help them. And some of us Sirin, some commentators of the Quran, they have mentioned that when a person flees from the battlefield, then the objective is to gain safety, to gain safety from the enemy. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that even after fleeing from the battlefield, the non-Muslims, they still wouldn't gain any safety. Rather, the Muslims would still destroy them. So if this battle did take place, number one, the non-Muslims wouldn't have remained on the battlefield. And number two, after fleeing, they still would not have been able to gain safety. They still would have been destroyed by the Muslims. So there was no chance of them gaining any sort of victory if a battle took place. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't let this battle take place. Rather, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah took place. And the reason why the Treaty of Hudaybiyah took place was because of the many benefits that the Muslims were going to gain as a result of this treaty, which were all mentioned in last week's lesson. That, for example, they gained the conquest of Khaybar, and Khaybar came into their possession. Thereafter, the location known as Fadak, and Khaybar, then Fadak, Wadiul Qura also. And after that, all the spoils of war. And together with this, whatever other benefits they were going to receive as a result of the treaty, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not let this battle take place. So in reality, this peace treaty, it was not there just to buy time. It wasn't that the Muslims were not ready to fight. So they thought to themselves that let's engage in a peace treaty instead. Rather, victory was always going to be for the Muslims. And why is it that the victory was always going to be for the Muslims? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the next ayah that sunnatullahi allati qad khalat min qabl. That this, meaning this practice of granting eventual victory to the believers, has been Allah ta'ala's practice that has passed from before. This has always been Allah ta'ala's practice. That whenever there is a clash between Haq and Batil, whenever there is a clash between those who are on the truth and those who are on falsehood, those who are on truth will always gain the victory. And those who are on falsehood, they will always be defeated. Yes, there is a possibility that there will be multiple rounds. This is why you shouldn't become deceived. That if this is the case, then why is it that we see in the world that those who are on the truth are being destroyed and those who are on falsehood are gaining victory? We will see this in many cases where we see that Muslims are being defeated. So first of all, this is in the apparent to us, it seems they are being defeated. Whether they are being defeated or not, we do not even know. But let's just assume that they are being defeated. So if they are being defeated, this is just one of the many rounds. And victory and defeat is not determined at the end of round one or round two or round three. Victory and defeat is determined at the end of the clash. If a boxing bout has 12 rounds and one boxer wins 11 rounds, but in the 12th round, there is a knockout and he is knocked out, then he's lost the battle, he's lost the fight. Nobody is going to say he won 11 rounds, so he won the fight. So in the same way, when there is a clash between those who are on the truth and those who are on falsehood, it will never happen that the non-Muslims will completely annihilate the Muslims in such a way that the Muslims will never be able to stand up again. This will never happen. In the final round, the Muslims will always gain victory. So this is the point which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making here. That sunnatullahi allati qad khalat min qabl. This practice of granting eventual victory to the believers has been Allah ta'ala's practice that has passed from before. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions in multiple places in different ways. In one place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, He has made this decision that most definitely I and my prophets will always be triumphant, will always be victorious. And any army which is sent from the Muslims, if it's during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it is sent by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, until the day of Qiyamah, every Muslim army, they are also the inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are part of the same mission. So Allah Ta'ala has made it clear in the Quran that me and my Prophet and any army which is connected to me and my Prophet, they will most definitely be triumphant and victorious. It's not possible for them to be defeated. In another place Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna lanansuru rusulana walladhina amanu." That we will most definitely assist our prophets and those who have iman. So Allah Ta'ala again in the Quran here, He has made it very clear that He is definitely going to assist His prophets and He is definitely going to assist the believers. وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِإِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have made this decision for our prophets. إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْسُورُونَ. That indeed, most definitely, they are the ones who will be assisted. وَإِنَّ جُنَّنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. And indeed, our armies, they are the ones who will be victorious and triumphant. And in another place, Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَا إِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That listen very attentively. Indeed, the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones who will be successful. أَلَا إِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. That indeed, the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones who will always be victorious. So from all of these verses, we understand that the believers, they will always gain victory and they will never be defeated. And thereafter, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. And you will not find any change in Allah Ta'ala's practice. Meaning, until the day of Qiyamah, this is always going to now remain the principle. That those who are on the truth, those who have iman, they will always gain victory. And those who are the disbelievers, who are on falsehood, then they will always be defeated. And thereafter, finally, in the last ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to that incident which I mentioned, where the 50 individuals who were sent to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they were saved. The Muslims did not kill them, so they were saved. And the 11, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his 10 companions, they were also saved. They were not killed also. So here the 50 were saved and here 11 were saved. Now if these individuals were not saved, if these 50 were killed, if these 11 were killed, then what would have happened? A war would have taken place between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. If the war took place, there would have been no treaty. And if the treaty did not take place, then all those benefits which the Muslims received due to the treaty, they would have missed out on all those benefits. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that who stopped this war? Who placed in your hearts that we shouldn't take the lives of these 50 individuals? And who placed this in the hearts of the Makkans that we shouldn't take the lives of Uthman radiallahu anhu and his companions? So Allah Ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي. It is Allah. كَفَّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ عَنْكُمْ. Who restrained their hands from fighting you. وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ. And your hands from fighting them. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who place this in your mind and in your heart that do not take their lives. And Allah Ta'ala also placed it in their minds that they should not take the lives of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the other Sahaba. Bibatni Makkata, right in the midst or in the valley of Makkatul Mukarrama. Now this word batnun in Arabic, the word batnun is translated as stomach. So its literal translation is that in the stomach of Makkah, in the midst of Makkah, in the middle of Makkah. But here it doesn't mean that this happened in the middle of Makkah because it happened in Hudaybiyah. So over here it means close to Makkatul Mukarrama. So bibatni Makkata, close to Makkatul Mukarrama at Hudaybiyah. Min ba'di an azfarakum alayhim, after granting you dominance over them. So as far as these 50 individuals were concerned, you already had them in your grasp. So if you wanted to, you could have very easily taken their lives. But despite of this, despite it being very easy for you to take their lives, and despite wanting to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the ability to remain tolerant in that situation. Otherwise, you can understand that you are with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and 50 individuals have come with this agenda that they want to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we all know the love, the intense love which the Sahaba had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So you can imagine that how much they would have wanted to take the lives of these people. But even at that time, to then remain tolerant, who gave you that courage? Who gave you that ability? It was Allah Ta'ala. Because Allah Ta'ala was controlling everything. And Allah Ta'ala knew that a treaty needs to take place here, not a battle. Allah Ta'ala could see all the future benefits for the Muslims, which at that time the Sahaba could not see. So look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists those people who have iman and who are practicing upon Islam. So Allah Ta'ala says that even after you had the full power to destroy these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who restrained you from taking such action. So مِن بَعْدِ أَنْ أَظْفَرَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watchful over what you do. Allah ta'ala makes events happen for the best. Therefore, although the Muslims would have defeated the mushrikeen had a battle been fought, Allah ta'ala knew of more benefit in the treaty and did not allow a battle to take place. So, as far as the glorious Quran is concerned, the Quran is not a storybook. So the reason why these incidents are mentioned in the Quran is so that we can derive a lesson from here. And the main lesson is that the result will always be positive for those who are on the haq, who are on the truth. And the people who are on falsehood, they will always be defeated. So what do we need to do? We need to ensure that we are from the people of haq. We are from the people of truth. Because when it's made so clear in the Quran that the people who are on the haq will always be victorious and the people on falsehood will always be defeated, then if we make sure that we are in the right group, then we can be guaranteed that victory is going to be for us. Otherwise, if we do not make sure that we are from the people of haq and people of the truth, then it's possible that we will become from the people of falsehood and then defeat will be for us. And to become from the people of the haq and people of the truth, two things are very important. Number one is that we acquire the correct ilm and the correct knowledge with regards to our deen. We have to ensure that we know exactly what is the haq, what is the truth. We have to ensure that we acquire the knowledge from the correct sources. And after acquiring the correct ilm and the correct knowledge, thereafter, number two, we don't suffice on this knowledge, rather we transform this knowledge into amal, into action. One is just simply knowing what's right and what's wrong. But just knowing is not sufficient. This doesn't make a person from the people of haq. To be from the people of Haq after knowing, we have to also practice. So if we acquire the correct knowledge and thereafter practice upon the correct knowledge, then we will be from the people of the truth. And when we will be from the people of the truth, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance will be with us. And this is the one problem which we are finding right now. We have always heard that one day a time is going to come when the Muslims will be victorious. So the reason why the Muslims at this particular time don't have the assistance of Allah Ta'ala with them is because we are simply Muslim by name. Each person has to look into his own life. That as far as deen is concerned, how much of deen am I actually practicing upon? So very quickly we will come to this conclusion. Many of us will probably say that maybe not even 50%. There are so many deficiencies. So when we are not Muslim by name, then why do we expect Allah Ta'ala's assistance to come down? Because Allah Ta'ala is saying that He will assist those who are Muslim. And those who are Muslim are not just those who are Muslim by name. You have to be a Muslim, complete Muslim, like the Sahaba. Because the Sahaba, they were complete at all times. In prosperity, they were Muslims. In adversity, they were Muslims. In poverty, they were Muslims. In wealth and affluence, they were Muslims. When they were in the masjid, they were Muslim. When they were in the marketplace, they were Muslim. With their neighbors, they were Muslim. With their family members, they were Muslim. And we've become part-time Muslims. We choose that over here, practicing upon Islam is nice. It's according to my circumstances. It feels good. So at that time, we'll practice upon Islam. And as soon as it feels as though it's going to be difficult here, then straight away we place that command of Sharia to one side. So that's not Muslim. So we need to become those Muslims who are Muslim in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order for Allah ta'ala's assistance to come down. And this happens when the entire community does this. But as far as a community is concerned, a community is made up of individuals. So each individual has to tell himself that I am one part of the community. There's no point saying that the community needs to come onto Islam, so let's try and make everybody come into Islam, but me, myself, I don't do anything. No, a community is made up of individuals. So if I work on myself, you work on yourself, he works on himself, then when every individual works on themselves, then this community now, these individuals will make a community will be a Muslim community. So first of all, we have to work on ourselves, and thereafter, because there will be many people in whose lives there will be deficiency, then we also assist others and we also try and bring others onto Islam. So when this will happen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance will come down upon such people. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the realization and the understanding of the importance of learning with regards to the correct version of Islam, and thereafter also grant us the ability to practice upon Islam in the correct manner. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us see in our lifetime where Allah ta'ala's assistance comes down upon the Muslim ummah and we see the Muslims victorious and the non-Muslims defeated. Rather, we make dua to Allah ta'ala that He grants hidayah and guidance to even those who are not on the straight path. May Allah Ta'ala give them the ability to see the correct path and bring them onto the straight path also. And may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us the ability to live our lives in such a way that even in this worldly life, we can gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And thereafter in the Akhirah, we leave this world in such a state that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is pleased with us. And thereafter we are granted eternal entry into Jannah and Paradise. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers are requested to move forward and make the rows. Please move forward. أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الله أكبر استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله وصلي وسلم.